So what is it about those 36 questions? Arthur Aaron is the social psychologist who came up with them. He's a researcher at UC Berkeley and Stony Brook University, and he's been studying love and intimacy for a long time. Arthur, were you really trying to see if you could make two strangers fall in love?
We were trying to create a laboratory procedure to create a feeling of closeness between people, not necessarily romantic closeness. But that's not to say it couldn't support the creation of a romantic feeling.
So you basically took two perfect strangers, people who'd never met before, gave them a bunch of questions, and watched to see if they got closer over the course of an hour?
Yes, and we kept piloting it till we made sure it did get them closer. And then we and others, there's been hundreds of studies using this procedure now. It works. At the end of this 45 minutes or so of the activity, people report being almost as close, feeling almost as close to this person as the closest person in their life. Now, it doesn't necessarily last, but at that moment, they're feeling an extreme sense of connection.
And what was it you were trying to find out?
We're trying to understand basic processes in human experience and behavior, and closeness is a huge part of it. So we wanted to have something we could do in the laboratory, randomly assign people to get close or not, and then measure something. The physiological effects of getting close, or we can see whether closeness causes a change in attitudes, all sorts of things.
So what happens after the study participants, these strangers, they come into a room, they ask and answer all these questions, they feel really close, and then what, at the end of the hour, they have to leave? Don't they want to see each other again?
Some of them do, some of them don't. And in fact, when we were doing versions of this with cross-sex heterosexual couples, and we had a little more romantic version of this, we made sure they left separately so they didn't feel any obligation to connect with the person.
So you did one couple, right, in one of the early studies who actually did wind up falling in love and getting married?
We don't know for sure they fell in love, but they did get married, and we presume they fell in love. I don't remember if they actually invited us to the wedding, but they certainly let us know they were getting married. And I actually contacted them a few years ago, and they were still together.
Uh-huh. Well, so the point, it seems to me, is that these are not some magic questions. It's the process of self-revelation, right, and finding out about each other that fosters intimacy and opens the door to falling in love.
It certainly fosters intimacy when it's mutual, gradually built. If you reveal too much too fast, you put someone off. And the responsiveness, feeling the other is responsive to you, feeling yourself being responsive to the other person, have a huge effect in creating intimacy. Now, falling in love, we haven't tested it for that. And we know a fair amount about what creates romantic attraction. And certainly feeling a connection to the other person is a part of that, but it's only one part of it.
So,
you know, if you were with someone of the wrong age or wrong gender wrong species, well, though people fall in love with their pets, but in general, they have to be reasonably attractive, and you have to be at a point in your life where it's, you don't have to be, but typically it's more likely if you're at a point in your life where it's appropriate to fall in love with someone. All those things have to be in place.
Right. So you've been fascinated by love for a long time. How and why we fall in love, how we do or don't manage to stay in love. We all know that passion and intense involvement fades. Why is that? Why does passion fade?
Well, let me say first, it doesn't always. We've done some studies with people who've been married 30, 40 years who claim to be very intensely in love. There aren't a lot of them, but there are some. We put them in the brain scanner, the fMRI, and they show, when they're thinking about their partner, the same neural response we see with newly in love people.
Wait, these are people who've been married like 30 years and they still are completely in love with their partner?
Yes, I remember Bianca Acevedo, who was the lead on this study. This was her dissertation study. She told me she interviewed one of the couples and she could see it, but they were saying to her, "We really annoy our friends." These were like 70-year-old people. "We really annoy our friends because we're always all over each other physically."
Who are these lucky people? What do they have going on in their brains that the rest of us don't?
Well, we'd like to know. We'd love to do that study. It's hard to get funding to do that kind of research. But we do know some factors that definitely increase passionate love in long-term couples. One of them is actually doing those 36 questions with another couple. So if you know, if you just recently met another couple and the two couples get together, spend an evening, do those 36 questions, we just published a study a month ago showing that it not only makes you close to the other couple, it makes you closer to your own partner and actually increases the passionate love with your partner.
So double dating actually improves your own relationship?
Yes.
Why would that be?
Two things. One is we have a lot of research evidence that doing anything novel, challenging with your partner reinvigorates a sense of excitement with the partner. And this is an activity that's like that. We've done other studies where we measure this in other ways. So we have people come into the lab and we tie them together at the wrist and ankles and have them go back and forth trying to push something with their head. And we've done studies where people every week do something from a list of things that are exciting. And after 10 weeks, they're more satisfied and more in love.
What's on the list? What are the exciting things?
We were talking about things they could do in one evening or one afternoon, you know, going for a canoe trip. If they've never been to the opera, going to the opera. If they've never been to a horse race, going to a horse race. Doing something different. We've done some recent research suggesting it doesn't have to be something entirely new. It can be what we call a rediscovery activity, something you haven't done in years. My wife and I were walking back from a play in Manhattan to the subway one night, and we, you know, we're somewhat older, and we walked by a bar, and we said, you know, we haven't hung out in a bar in years. Let's go and hang out in a bar for a half hour. It was wonderful.
And why do you think doing something exciting and novel can reignite the spark in a marriage or a partnership?
We associate the process of expanding the self when it's rapid expansion of the self is very has a very rewarding experience. It feels really good. You know, in the early stages of falling in love, there's all that excitement. But then you get used to the partner. So then you do something together that's exciting, and you associate that with the partner. One of the things that happens when we connect with someone is the other person becomes part of who we are to some extent. So what a relationship does for us is it expands the self in the sense it increases who we feel we are.
So we feel bigger.
We feel bigger. We want to be more than we are. We want to grow to be bigger in the sense of more abilities to accomplish things.
Is there something you've learned over the course of your research that you wish you'd known back in the earlier days of your marriage?
Well, I think another example is some great research by that's been done on what's called capitalization, that is celebrating your partner's successes. It turns out that that has a bigger effect than supporting your partner when things go badly. And so we systematically try to do that. My wife had a really important paper that she thought didn't have a chance of being accepted in one of the top scientific journals. And I was home when the email came in, and I happened to see it, that the paper had not only been accepted, but the editor loved it. So I made a poster of that email and put it on the front door for when she arrived. We had a great night that night.
That's lovely.
So,
Arthur,
so we try to make use of whatever we can from the research.
Okay, thanks. I'm going home to make a list of novel and exciting activities.
Yes, do so.
Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Arthur Aaron studies love and intimacy at UC Berkeley and Stony Brook University. He also developed those 36 questions. Coming up, comedian and NPR host Ophira Eisenberg has some questions of her own.
God forbid something happened and I was out dating again, I would ask different questions. I would not ask, what's your job like? What's your relationship like with your family? I would ask, do you put your stuff away?
I'm Anne Strainchamps. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from Wisconsin Public Radio, NPRI, Public Radio International.